Did you know that the Pop Culture Preservation Society depends on support from listeners like you to keep our podcast up and running? We are an independent operation, creating, producing, distributing, and promoting the podcast by ourselves and paying for it out of our own pockets because we love it and we think it's worth it to preserve the well-loved cultural nuggets from our Gen X youth. If you'd like to become a supporter of the PCPS, go to patreon.com, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, and search for Pop Culture Preservation Society. Our Patreon supporters are like our pit crew, giving us the fuel we need to keep on trucking. And as a Patreon supporter, you'll also get special thank you gifts, like video recordings of our episodes, after-the-episode discussions, invitations to live events over Zoom, and the occasional blooper delivered straight to your inbox. Thank you so much for listening and for being a part of our society. This is one of my favorite episodes of all time, you guys, and it is becoming an annual rerun for us because people like to learn about road trips in the summer. And our road trips of the past, as you'll find out when you listen, are not the same as the road trips of today. We will never go back to the pre-GPS days. We will never go back to the pre-iPhone in your hand days. They will never, ever be the same. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of good stories that people have from their childhoods when they were going on summer road trips. It turns out that it is just like a goldmine of comedy. The Gen X era summer road trip. Comedy
gold. Relatable. There's so many things that we all did in the car, or we all ate, or places we all stopped. You'll hear all of those things in this episode.
I've got to say, one of my all-time favorite road trip stories is in this episode. And it's not even mine, but I tell it all the time now. It's Michelle's. I'm not going to ruin it for you guys, but let's just say it's morbidly hysterical. And
oh, I
share it all the time with my family. Like, remember that Do time, you? Michelle? Yeah.
Those of you who've heard it will give you a hint. Are you talking about why I never swim at night?
This is true.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a good one.
There was another fun story that we actually had to cut from our original episode that I want Kristen to tell again.
Yeah, we can talk for hours and hours and hours, and what ends up in coming into your ears is probably one third of what we actually talk about. So this is a story that ended up on the cutting room floor. So this was on a road trip in 1975. So I was 7 years old. My brother was 4 years old, and we were traveling from California to Minnesota. I think we were actually moving at the time, which meant that we also had a car full of pets. We had like two cats and a dog in this car with us. And remember, we didn't have SUVs then. That was not a thing.
No.
You had a front seat, you had a back seat. And then you had a giant ass trunk. You couldn't put the pets in the trunk. So that means that the cats are like walking over our thighs and things like that. Oh, and now I remember one of the cats got away and we were at a motel. This is not the story I intended to tell. Muffet, my cat, jumped out of the car when we were trying to leave in the morning. And finally we found Muffet and she was hiding under our car. And so all of us are on our hands and knees, like trying to stretch our arms under the carburetor. Is that where the carburetor goes? I don't know. And we're like, Muffet, here, kitty, kitty,
carburetor.
Kitty, kitty. And I remember thinking as I'm kneeling on the ground and the gravel is like rubbing into my skin, I'm like, if one of our hands doesn't catch her, she's gone. Mm-hmm. And we don't have a cat anymore.
Did I tell the story in this episode, or did
yes,
we say
yes,
that
I just
when we were moving and my cat got away and my cat's name was Muffet?
And you had to leave. You had to
we
be
had
like,
to leave.
I guess she's gone.
We had to leave, Muffy. Ugh. Oh, I cried. I had already, you guys also, longtime listeners know how traumatic this move, it was 40 years ago. The move from Washington State to Arizona was for me probably in my top three most traumatic things in my entire life. First day, my beloved cat, Muffy, gets away at the rest stop. And my mom's like, sorry, I got to start work in 2 days. We got to leave Muffy. So let's just add on the next layer of trauma. Now, that ended well because we had my best friend Lisa's mom, Paula. Lisa's mom went back to the rest area and called and called and called because it was only like 2 hours from home, like 2 hours past Portland or something. And they found Muffy. And like 2 days later, put
That's
Muffy on a plane to Phoenix and we ended up getting Muffy back.
Can I just say, I'm wondering now, listeners, how many of you have maybe lost a cat on a road trip?
Yes!
Because two out of three of us have had that experience. And I don't like cats, so it would have never happened to me because I've never owned one. But is this a common thing? It's interesting.
I want to know.
I strut right by with my tail in the air. Straight cat strut, I'm a
ladies' cat.
I'm a feeling cat.
here's my actual road trip story. So 1975, we're driving from California to Minnesota. And I guess my parents thought it would be a good idea to stop at a casino in Reno, Nevada.
And if, always a good idea.
This makes no sense to me because my parents, like, they're these little Lutheran people and they're not gamblers. They don't drink. I don't think they've ever been drunk in their whole lives, honest to God. But we're going to stop at a casino. And apparently at that time, it's, of course, if you're under 18, you cannot go in the casino, but you can go in the diner of the casino. So we stop at the diner having our dinner, and then my parents decide to go gamble, but we're not allowed in there. So my mom tells me, we're standing at the threshold of the casino with my feet on the diner side, and my mom tells me that I have to keep my feet on that side. It's illegal if I step over into the casino. So what do I think? I'm going to jail. If I put my foot over that threshold, I'm going to jail. And then Gordy and Linda promptly take off and leave the 7 and the 4-year-old in the casino. So standing there dutifully holding my brother's hand. And we're right across from the lounge. And I can see into the lounge. I can see that there's a singer and there's a keyboard player. And they start singing "Love Will Keep Us Together." And I'm like, oh my God, it's the Captain and Tennille. And so I weigh the cost benefit. I'm like, I could go to jail, but it's the Captain and Tennille. What do I do? And so I grab my brother's hand and we leap over the threshold and we run into the lounge and we're standing there watching them sing "Love Will Keep Us Together." And I am just in seventh heaven. I can't believe the luck I have. And then this old scary like janitor dude comes like grumping over to us and he's like, "You kids, you get out of here." It was just like Scooby-Doo. "You get out of here." Yeah. He scared the shit out of me and we took off and we ran back to the diner. So it only occurred to me when we were prepping for this episode and I was getting ready to tell the story about how I saw the Captain and Tennille in a casino in Reno, Nevada in 1975 that I went, oh, wait a minute. That wasn't the Captain and Tennille. I literally believed it was the Captain and Tennille my whole entire life until I took the time to think about how reasonable that was. That it was like a number one hit. They're not going to be singing at a bar in Reno.
It was like Chad and Debbie Johnson.
Yes, it was.
At 7 p.m. You know,
she had the bowl
hits
cut,
of Captain and Tennille.
She had the hair and everything. And I just assumed it was them.
Oh, how sweet that you did. And what a great little memory to hold in your heart, especially since you were moving and that wasn't fun. You probably thought, oh, at least I got to see Captain and Tennille.
And you know what? I never told my parents. Because we had broken the law.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
so my parents did not. I couldn't share with them that I saw the Captain and Tennille.
Just as well, because they would have said, no, that wasn't the Captain and Tennille. And your heart would have been doubly broken.
Because I did when, you know, so I'm 55 when I make this realization. And my heart did break just a little bit going, I didn't see the Captain and Tennille.
But that memory of thinking it was the Captain and Tennille, you will always have that memory.
Oh, it was so exciting. And my brother, too. Like, I remember we're holding hands and we're just like, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
I'm just trying to picture the 7 and 4-year-old that go like, come on. You know, you drag them over the threshold and you're just like starry-eyed, not sitting anywhere probably.
No,
like everyone else is sitting, but you're just probably mouth agape and overcomes the means.
And I remember sneaking in the back. Like I knew that we weren't supposed to be in the casino. So we sneaked in. We're just like standing, like hiding in the back where nobody could see us except for the mean janitor who found us.
Yeah. Gosh, that's a great story and that's a great memory. Share some fun road trip scoop with you guys, because if you remember in the episode, we talked a little bit about Stuckey's. And I shared with you guys, we were always allowed to stop at Stuckey's. Often, that's the only place we would stop on our road trips because they sold Texaco gas. And honestly, you guys, I thought if you didn't put Texaco gas in your car, your car wouldn't go anywhere, or at least in my case, like – I don't know, my dad would lose his job, some like, you know, but he was watching and they're like, that's not Texaco gas. So it had to be Texaco gas. And luckily, that's what at least every Stuckey's we stopped at carried Texaco gas. So we always got to stop and we always got to see all the fun souvenirs and of course the pecan rolls and all that good stuff. And we kind of lamented in this episode that the Stuckey's are kind of going away. And where are the Stuckey's? Well, I've got some fun news for you guys. It's very exciting. Okay. Stuckey's is making a comeback. And we have Stephanie Stuckey to thank for that. Okay.
Oh, Stephanie Stuckey. Stephanie this is Stuckey. Good.
Isn't that a great name?
Yes, that it's is awesome.
Great name.
Yes. So she was actually a politician in Georgia for a while. She was like a state representative. But in 2019, the company that then owned Stuckey's was putting it up for sale. And she decided she needed to buy it back.
Wow.
She bought it for $500,000. That's all that it cost. And she became the third generation CEO of the family business. Okay. So she's left politics. She is going on this road trip adventure to make Stuckey's a household name again. And she stated that the motivating factors for this were an emotional attachment to the family brand, along with the desire to make Stuckey's both profitable and a household name again.
Oh,
don't you love that?
Bring back the road trip.
Yes. And she has a wonderful, fun Instagram account where she takes us on road trips with her and gives us little background stories on the places she goes. And we will share that Instagram account in the Weekly Reader. And here's what I really thought was cool. She is our people. She is Gen X through and through, born in 1965. Shout out. Okay. So she buys it $500,000 in 2019. Within 6 months, she's restored Stuckey's to profitability and now expanded their classical line of candies. And now these are going out, not just to Stuckey's, but to grocery stores and places like that. So Stuckey's is, the brand is back. It's in the community. People are seeing it. And she's written a fun memoir called Unstuck. I love it.
About
her journey with taking over the family brand and what she's brought to it and what her hopes are.
I love Stephanie Stuckey. I want to be friends with her.
Yeah. Well, let's maybe see if we can get her to come on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because remember, this is going to become an annual tradition, the rerun.
So she'll be on next summer's.
Yeah. There you go. So until then, listeners, please enjoy this encore episode of Road Trips, and I don't know the name of it.
It's called Holiday Road. Holiday Road are Gen X road trips.
So enjoy this episode of Holiday Road Trips.
No.
Still
no. Holiday Road, like Holiday Road.
Holiday Summer Road, road Trips.
No.
No, Road Trips.
No.
It's called, okay. So enjoy this episode
of Holiday Road,
our Gen X road trips. Holiday Road.
And so this Holodome in Elkhart, Indiana was like 4 stars, and we were like a 1-star family, right? So this was like, this was the vacation. It was the halfway point on our drive, but it was like, enjoy it, kids, because it costs $17.95.
Hello world, here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy. A whole lot of loving is what we'll be bringing. We'll make you happy.
Welcome to the Pop Culture Preservation Society, the podcast for people born in the big wheel generation who know to let the hot water run out of the hose before drinking from it.
We believe our Gen X childhoods gave us unforgettable songs, stories, characters, and images. And if we don't talk about them, they'll disappear, like Marshall, Will, and Holly on a routine expedition.
And today, we'll be saving all the wonderful memories from our iconic childhood road trips, from the creative car games to our fascination with the vibrating bed and the roadside motel. Buckle up, but don't really, because most of us didn't wear seatbelts. And let's hit the road.
I'm Carolyn.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Michelle. And we are your pop culture preservationists.
Hello world, here's a song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
Welcome to season 6. Season 6.
Oh,
episode 77.
This little experiment just keeps on going.
Right. So we just keep adding more, you know, things to the Bunsen burner and right. pour a little liquid here, light a flame there.
Watch what catches on fire.
I know.
I love a new season. I love, you know, I haven't seen you guys for a while in this space and I get to just, I can't even say it.
I can't. Kristen's so overwhelmed with love and appreciation.
I get to share all of the things, just all of yes. the things. And we're finding out that that's what the three of us are really kind of thriving on, because the research and the gathering of information is sort of an obsession for us, but it's the sharing of the information that is so fun. So it's like, yeah. I can't wait to see you guys.
Yes. I know. It's good to see you guys too. Yeah. And I love our season we have ahead. We mm-hmm. have some really, really fun conversations coming up. And I really love today's episode, Road Trip Memories. Mm-hmm. It's just another one of our shared experiences. Yes. And I know a lot of people might argue, well, people still take road trips today. They still, it's not I don't the care. Same. It's not the same.
Not the same.
No.
This generation has some shared memories. It is the same that all the kids, the boomers, have some shared experiences mm-hmm. and the millennials. But since Generation X is the best generation, our shared experiences rule. Well, our followers on Instagram and Facebook also had a lot to share about their own road trip memories. So should we get on the road?
Let's do
it. Yeah, let's mm-hmm. do it. Holiday road.
Guys, honestly, is there a better road trip movie than Vacation?
I know.
Right?
Saw it at the drive-in with my whole family. It's like we road trip to the drive-in to see
it. So good. So good. And it's one that I can still crack up at watching it now. Did you guys know that's a big summer movie, July 29th. Mm-hmm. So this week in 1983 was when Vacation was released. Well, it was so much fun to read all the comments on our recent Instagram and Facebook post asking our followers to share their road trip memories. I felt like a lot of us were crammed into the same car together because one of the many things people shared that struck me, and actually it made me feel a lot better about my own childhood, is that hardly anyone wore seatbelts.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, gosh. I didn't even know we had them in the back. But they were all buried.
Yeah. I felt so validated about my childhood mm-hmm. when I read that. I mean, we were free to roam around the car. Like, I remember crawling to the front, then from the front to the back. And I also remember when we were in a car, we had lots of different cars, but like cramming myself up on that ledge where the rear windshield meets the back seats. You know, it's almost like a little mm-hmm. ledge. And I would cram myself up there. So my face is kind of pushed up in the window in the corner. And I would just stare at the clouds as we would drive.
And it'd get hot as shit up there.
Yeah. Or I just lay down in the mm-hmm. back and sleep on the back bench if there was room. Or, you know, mm-hmm. when you went on a car trip, you took pillows. And if you weren't crammed in.
Made a little fort.
Yeah.
Although I will say we didn't use seatbelts until we did. And it always felt completely arbitrary, like apropos of nothing. After we're like 3 days into our journey, and suddenly my parents would be like, "Seatbelts, everybody, put on your seatbelt." And we'd be like, "Why? Why now? We've been like totally hanging out back here for 3 days, and now you want
to partying back here?"
Yes, yeah. And it was like the biggest travesty.
That my family went through a thing where the people in the front seat would wear a seatbelt, but nobody in the back had to wear a seatbelt.
Yeah, you're safe in the back.
Yeah, for some odd reason. Yeah.
You know what else we did not use in our car? Is the air conditioning.
I don't even think we had air conditioning.
We had it.
I don't think we did.
But there was this myth, which has now been disproved, that when you use the air conditioning, it would ruin your gas mileage. So there was no air conditioning until, like, you know, your legs are sticking to the vinyl and you're just a sweaty mess back there. And I remember my mom would turn around and she'd be like, "Dad said yes." And then once she said that, we'd all like frantically roll up our windows. We were going to turn on the air.
The temperature reached 116. Dad said yes. Well, one of our Instagram followers, Pumpkin's Mom 69, said her baby brother rode in the front passenger's footwell at mother's feet. Now, really Pumpkin's Mom 69, well, that's the question. Mm-hmm. Is the baby just down there, like, you know, wiggling around like a roach on its back or something, like, you know, just this baby? Or is it in like the little plastic, remember the little car seats were like a little hard plastic Ben?
Well, we hung out in the footwell of the back seat of the car. And my sister and I would fight over who got to sit on the hump. That's what
you
we called
wanted
them.
The hump?
Yeah, well, oh, we did until hump. It burnt you. Like, because one, the transmission was going right under those parts. So the motor is kind of there. And then the hot pavement. And it would get so, so hot.
Oh my
and
God.
I have distinct memories of the carpeting in our car. It was really grizzly or grizzly.
Oh, God.
It was just
yeah, it's like
was
scratchy.
Crunchy. Yes.
Yeah.
But I think my sister at one point in time, I don't think on a road trip necessarily, but she had spilled some milk in
oh
our
God.
Car.
Oh, my God.
And it had never quite smelled right. And it smelled really bad when it was summery time. But it also got extra crunchy in that part of the carpeting on the floor. And so when I describe that carpeting or think about it, I want to say crunchy. It was like,
yeah, yeah.
I think it could break in parts. But we,
yeah.
I don't know why we thought.
Like AstroTurf almost.
Yes, it hurt.
Mm-hmm. You're blowing my mind, though, now with the memory of wanting to sit on the hump. And I would sit there and want to like, color. I'd use the seat, you know, behind me
yeah,
to color.
Yeah, it was like a little desk.
But you're blowing my mind
like
about how hot it got.
Yes.
I would have never thought of that again, Carolyn. Yes. I can almost like feel it right now on my butt cheeks.
Yeah.
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 Well, so we're all crammed in the car, often literally packed in, and we hit the road. Now, there are no DVD screens. There are no iPads. There is no Nintendo. There are no Game Boy Switches or even Walkmans, for crying out loud. So what did we do?
Well, you guys, I think one of the things I enjoy most about this podcast is when our followers and society members share their road trip experiences or whatever, any experience they had during the 70s and 80s. And I had the same exact one. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm not the only person.
Yeah.
So there were several of those that came up when we asked our followers kind of what they did. How did they pass the time in the car? So some of the activities that I think probably a lot of us experienced were things like playing the license plate game, where you tried to collect the license plates from all the different states. There was the alphabet game, of course, and as one of our followers reminded us, crossing your fingers so hard when you got to Q that you would see a billboard for an antique store, because there were very few words that had Q in them, and I thought, I remember that.
Uh-huh. Or how many xylophone streets can there be? There just aren't that many xylophone streets.
Well, one of our followers also mentioned playing the initial game, where you'd give initials of a famous person, and then you get to ask some yes or no questions until you've guessed the answer.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes, that sounds fun. I want to play that now.
Well, let me tell you, I thought my mom invented it. So this other follower shared, I thought, oh, I mean, it was nice to know someone else was playing the initial game, but also, I guess my mom didn't invent it. And then I'm thinking, were there like articles in Women's Day and Good Housekeeping, like how to entertain your child on a road trip? And they
probably
kind of,
Reader's Digest.
They probably
they gave us some suggestions because
car games.
Yes, car games. And obviously, so many people read. Those people that didn't. Barf were the ones who read. And there was everything from comic books. I was allowed to have comic books on our road trips, which were never anything else that we ever purchased. But road trips were comic books. Tiger Beat, Mad Magazine, Little House books, Nancy Drew books. Somebody mentioned Dynamite. Mm-hmm. So definitely reading. Mm-hmm. Several followers also mentioned that their mothers put together activity bags.
Oh,
did your mother do that, either of you?
Yep. With dot to dots and things like that.
Well, I want to read to you from a book that I found, which was so good, called Don't Make Me Pull Over, An Informal History of the Family Road Trip.
Really?
And this was by Richard Rattay or R-A-T-A-Y. Such a fun book.
Let's just put that in the Weekly Reader this week.
Yeah. Lots of fun facts about the American road trip, and he shares a lot of details about his family's road trips, which were definitely 70s in our vibe time. So he wrote a great description about his activity bag, and they called it the game bag. The game bag was a paper grocery bag filled with every novelty, travel puzzle, and cheap toy my mother could buy at the local dime store. For starters, there were those handheld games in which the object was to navigate a tiny ball bearing through a maze into the eye holes of a cartoon face.
Yes.
Then I'd move on to the magic slate drawing pad. Next, there was Wooly Willy. A personal favorite.
I still love that one.
I know, yeah. Me too. Was the cartoon face of a nerdy looking white guy covered with a canopy of clear plastic holding black metal shavings. You used a magnet pen to pick up the shavings and drop them over Willie's face to create amusing beards, mustaches,
and boogers.
Oh, yeah. Can I just ask you guys though, when you were doing Wild Willy and you're in the car, you're having to hold it perfectly flat and so still.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the frustration at like getting the sideburns exactly right and getting maybe a nice handlebar mustache, and then you go over a bump or the car turns and all those shavings just go sliding?
Yeah. Yep. It's frustrating. Or when like there were those few that wouldn't fall off.
Yeah.
Like the dingleberries of
or the dingleberries of Wild Wooly.
That's right. Oh, gosh, yes. And then he said they also had several invisible ink books produced by a company called Yes and No, which several of our followers mentioned.
And then
he went on to say that their family favorite game, and still to this day is one of my favorite games, is Mad Libs, which I guess is a game.
Yes.
Oh, give me a good Mad Lib any day, and
so funny.
I am all there.
Yeah.
But as much as we shared in some of our activities and games and things we played in the car, there were a few activities and things people did that I had never heard of and thought were very creative. So one of our society members, Kathy Horton, described a game that, at least to me, I had never heard of, where you would count people outside on your side of the car. And then when you saw a cemetery, you had to bury all your people, and then you had to start from zero again.
Oh,
yeah. My friend Tony did that one too, but they did it with farm animals. And then all their farm animals died and they would start over.
That sounds a little nicer than the people. And I thought this one was really nice. Amy Brown said her mother made songbooks for the trip and they sang their way from California to North Carolina.
I want to know what songs.
Is Amy's last name Von Trapp?
Right.
Tell us some of those songs. Don't you guys just have this image of the whole family just happily singing with their songbooks open?
Oh, gosh, so cute, yes. Amy. What's the, now I'm like frantically trying to think of any song that I know. Got four wheels and a running board.
Wait, Amy, if you're listening, please, please, please tell us, just for our own sanity, that there had to have been at least one family member who was like, I'm not singing this stupid song. So you like the camera's panning across Amy's family. Dad's singing, mom singing in the back. Little Amy's got her songbook open, she's singing, maybe little brother singing, and then we get to like the teenage angsty brother who's just like staring out the window like, I'm not doing any of this family shit. I'm not. So Amy, please tell me there was
a tin. That's what it is. Got this great big hunk of tin. Nobody knows what shape it's in. You guys are staring at me.
Yeah, I'm thinking
got
of songs
four
like
wheels and a running board. It's a Fordo. It's a Ford.
And I'm thinking honk, more of like rattle, campfire rattle, songs, like Michael row your boat ashore.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
No.
Or the just a boy and a girl in a little canoe with the moon shining all around. You know those little campfire
songs. That's a Girl Scout song. So I think our campfire girl might not know that.
Yes.
But yeah,
we only campfire.
Oh, that's right. Get out of this podcast, campfire girl.
Because
where are my bluebirds at?
You mentioned we didn't have Walkmen and obviously iPods and all that stuff. Several of our followers mentioned how they hated having to listen to whatever their parents wanted to listen to on the radio.
Oh my God. Yes.
Named like Roger Whittaker. Do you guys remember?
Oh God, no.
My parents loved Roger Whittaker and Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond. Oh, sorry, followers.
That's why you don't
like
Neil Diamond.
I
still love Neil Diamond.
Oh.
But that's maybe because my parents weren't that into it.
That's, maybe
so I can like
to listen.
Well, I am one of those people. I was a reader in the car. And you guys, now that makes me nauseous even thinking about it.
Oh, like, I could never.
I can't even read two sentences without telling my husband. Like, I'm so dumb. It's like rookie mistake. I do it. And I'm always like, I think you're going to have to pull over.
I can't even look at my phone.
I read all the time. I mean, it was Beverly Cleary. It was Judy Blume. As I got older, I would take stacks of Sweet Dreams romance books. And I would take as many as I was allowed to fit. Like, I would be like, I can fit one more. And I would sit behind the seat, if there was room. And I would read and read. And then I would reread them. And that's what I would do. I would just read and read.
And not barf.
No, I know.
Wow.
And this was in the back seat. And also, wait, not just the back seat. My stepfather smoked a pipe.
In the car.
In the car. Now, did you guys get car sick?
Yes,
ever?
No.
Because mm-hmm. I did get car sick, I remember, twice. But I don't feel like it was from reading. One time we were in the California Redwoods, so the car was, winding on the road. Mm-hmm. And we had just had brunch at like a hotel, and I had strawberry waffles.
Oh, God.
And
no.
My stepfather had the windows rolled up with his pipe, but the car is going like hairpin back and forth. And I kept saying, I'm going to throw up. I'm going to throw up. Thankfully, he pulled over, and I threw up strawberry waffles in the pine needles of the Redwoods.
Oh, that was very specific.
But yes. You're welcome. But reading didn't do it. But my favorite, other than reading, those yes and no invisible ink books.
Uh-huh,
and then I would buy more at gift shops. Like I couldn't get enough of those. I loved the little battleship game. I loved Hangman on those. And then do you guys remember this game? You would make a grid of dots and then you take turns making a line, connecting a dot. And you want to be the one to make it in a square. And then you put your initial in the square.
Right. And you can't retrace.
No, and sometimes someone has set it up so that someone can just go square, 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 you know, with just one little line. So my sister and I would play that. What about you, Kristen?
I had a little transistor radio that theoretically could get TV stations. And so I spent the whole time just trying to tune in TV. And sometimes, I remember just one time, I got a little bit of All My Children. I'm like, oh my God, is that Erica? Oh my God, it's Erica.
So like, and the whole way, is it just going?
Yes.
But you're determined.
Like, damn that you, mother. Yes.
A way to keep you occupied.
Yes.
Gosh,
It was like, even though I wasn't actually getting any content at all, because you're constantly moving and you catch the TV station and then it's gone in 5 minutes. But I continued. I wouldn't let up.
It was the thrill of the hunt.
It was the thrill of the hunt. And then sometimes you just have to make up your own fun, right? And once on a road trip with our neighbors in their Chevy Caprice Classic Woody station wagon, we kids all got to sit in the back. What did you guys call it? Everybody has a different name.
We called it the way back.
There's the way back.
We didn't have a station wagon.
And we called it the back. So we were all lined up on the bench seat. I swear to God, there were like six children back there. Again,
I'm
no
thinking,
seat belts.
How cool to go on a road trip with another family.
Oh, it was really great. It was really great, especially because it's like nobody knows what's happening back there. It's like Russia.
Is that the one that faces backwards?
Yes, it was in a square. It's just like in Charlie Brown when they're going to his grandma's house for Thanksgiving and they're all sitting in a little square. That's exactly what it was. And in what we discovered was that there was a little trap door in the floor. It was like a loose panel or something. And if you pried it up, if you jimmied it loose pried it up, you could look straight down to the asphalt.
To the road?
To the road, which is hurtling by at 70 miles an hour. Like, if you put your hand down there, you lose your hand.
Oh, my God. I would have been terrified.
Oh, we thought it was the best thing ever.
We
gathered up rocks. All of the McDonald's hand puppets, which were basically like sandwich bags, you know, that had Hamburglar on it or Mayor McCheese on it.
Yes.
You just put your hand in the little sandwich bag. And we would crunch up the hand puppets and we would poke it through the hole and then we'd pop up and look out the back to watch it crash into the car behind us. So, and I just told this to my mom now and she's like, what? I had no idea. And I don't know how they didn't know, because basically it looked like this.
Kristen's bending down, everyone. Now she's popping up like she's looking behind her, bending down, popping up. You guys were such litter bugs.
I had no idea.
Litter bug. Yep. Do you guys remember how that was such a slur to call someone
litter bug? Yes, it was. As an adult, now I know that some of those games that we played in the backseat were huge deceptions, because they were actually ruses by our parents to keep the peace in the backseat, because it was like the Wild Wild West back there.
Like the quiet game?
Yes. Oh, I had one game that, this is so bad. My dad had a game called Abraham Lincoln. And what you did in Abraham Lincoln is you would put your feet on the floor and then you put your hands on your legs so that you're basically imitating the statue in the Lincoln Memorial. And the first person to move is the loser.
And that's it. You're just the loser.
That's
it. It's not
that's
like
the game.
Yeah.
And then you start
it
over.
Because it was never like, well, what do you lose? That was enough back then.
Oh,
you're just
the loser. Yes. And I remember it would just be like this proclamation out of the blue. My dad would be like, okay, it's time to play Abraham Lincoln.
I love that.
And I remember sitting there with my hands on my legs going, what are we doing? I don't know. I don't exactly know it, but I'm going to win. I don't know what I'm doing.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to win. There was a lot of need for discipline in the back seat because, you know, your mom could only reach your hand back there. Like, your mom's back there. She's swatting back and forth.
I wish you guys could see Kristen. It's the perfect impression.
Gosh.
I think you must have done that with Liam. You must have done that once or twice
with
Liam.
Can I share a funny story about that? Well, I guess it wasn't funny at the time, but a legendary story in Andy's family is that exact scenario, except it's his dad. So his dad's driving plus reaching back there. And he dislocates his shoulder. Yes. And he is in a great deal of pain. So they have to go to this little town and find a doctor. And it's like a Saturday or a Sunday or something ridiculous. But somehow it's old towny enough that they knock on some door where like it's a doctor sign outside, but it's also his house.
Oh my God.
They go in, and the story, as his dad would tell it, is the guy's got a cigarette, the doctor, and he just pops his shoulder back in, and they get back on the road.
He didn't say, how did you injure yourself, Mr. Cochran?
I mean, maybe, he said my kids were being assholes or something.
And
I don't
I'm
going
to bet the kids were real good after that.
Oh, you better believe it. It was my brother-in-law, Doug, who had done something smart-alecky, I don't know what. And he did not even, Andy said, Doug didn't say one word the rest of the trip. The whole vacation, it was just like, zip.
They didn't need any threats because I would love to hear what other people's threats were. That we didn't get too much of that in the comments. And I know that there were good threats out there.
I bet.
And one of my moms was always that she was going to pull over, just like in the book that you just said, Carolyn. And she'd be like, do you want me to pull over? I will. And I'd be like, well, no, but then where's the threat? She never did pull over. We never did. But the funniest, you guys, this is the best. This comes from my friend Tony. Again, his mom, affectionately known as Grandma Kay, would take all the kids the day before their road trip began to the candy store, where they each got to fill one of those white bags full of the little square cellophane-wrapped Brock's candies. They could fill up a whole bag. All three kids. They each got their own. And then Grandma Kay would keep all those bags of candy in the front seat with her. And then if they started fighting, Grandma Kay would reach her hand into one of the bags of candy randomly. Any one of the bags. She did not look. It doesn't matter who started it. She's going to reach her hand into randomly one of those bags and then throw it out the window.
Litter bugs. All of them. Okay. Yep. I wish what she would do.
Shut up.
See, what I think Grandma Kay should have done, and if I was Grandma Kay, I would randomly reach my hand into one of those bags and then I would just start eating it. And just chewing it real loud. Like,
thanks, kids.
This nougat.
I just love the image of her like roll yeah, down the window. Right. If there's no button, you gotta roll. Grab that candy, throw it out the window.
Hello, listeners. If you've been listening for the past few months, you know that I've been experimenting with a new clothing rental membership from Armoire. After the pandemic, I fell into the routine of pretty much not getting dressed at all, ever. I basically had nighttime pajamas and daytime pajamas, and it was a habit that was so hard to break when it was time to start leaving our houses again. Was I comfortable? Yes. But did I look like me? Not really. That's where I thought Armoire might be helpful for me. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. My membership has helped me build a better wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and look a lot more like me than my pajamas did. Is comfort still a priority? 100%. That's one of the things I'm learning as I experiment with new styles. There are clothes out there that feel like pajamas, but I still look like I got dressed in the morning. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic personalized closet. The styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. Then, when you're ready for new clothes, just swap them out for more new-to-you styles. Right now, our listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/PCPS. That's armoire.style, ARMOIRE.style/PCPS to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today.
Recently, I was visiting Michelle in Denver, and you guys, I was so impressed how seriously she takes the meals that she makes for her new dog.
It's true. Yeah. Our pup Frankie is a 2-year-old Australian cattle dog, mixed rescue. And since I imagine she probably ate nothing but weeds on the farm she came from, I want to give her the best and tastiest nutrition possible. And that's why I feel so good about giving Frankie Badlands Ranch. Actress Katherine Heigl, she's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation. She says she's seeing more issues with dogs' health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health, their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs, and it's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And bonus, Badlands Ranch also supports the Jason DeBus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes, just like Frankie. And I'm here to tell you, Frankie loves it and gets so excited when she sees me reach for the bag.
We have a great offer that we are excited to share with all of our dog parent listeners. Go to badlandsranch.com/PCPS and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/PCPS today.
Hi, everyone. This is Michelle, and I want to talk to you about my post-menopause symptoms. TMI? Not with this audience. Listen, for what seems like 92 years, I've been waking up in the night with a wet pajama top. I know a lot of you know that feeling. I've experienced mood swings, bloating, racing thoughts. Basically, I've felt like I'm living in a body that's not mine. But I'm so happy to report that all of that is changing since I started taking Hormone Harmony. I've noticed a huge improvement in all of those things I just listed. And you guys, I've even weaned off the hormone patches I've worn for the past 6 years. And I'm not the only one who's loving it. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And there are over 17,000 reviews where women mention that Hormone Harmony has helped them feel like themselves again. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code PCPS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PCPS for 15% off today. Don't you want to feel like yourself again?
While many of our listeners and followers had to brown bag it, for instance, Barry Herndon said her dad would always fry chicken the night before they left and they'd stop at a roadside park for lunch. She remembers it being the best chicken ever. She also brought up roadside parks. They don't really have those anymore. They have rest areas. But do you remember they would just almost have like picnic tables on the side of the highway that you could just pull over and stop? Cars are whizzing past you.
I think my mom would sleep at some of those places. Like when she was a kid, they would not stay in motels or anything. They would camp, but they didn't go to a campground. They just pulled over and put their bedrolls out. It was probably at these little roadside
parks. It probably was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Diana M. Williams also remembers great picnics at roadside picnic tables. Amy Hansen, 2017, says she remembers salami sandwiches that were warmed by the engine of the car in the brown bag. That's ingenious.
That is so retro. That is so. That could be from the Depression, right?
Grapes of Wrath.
My corn pone and my honey biscuits. We always had either bologna or budding meats, but we couldn't have mayo on them because it was perishable. So there'd always be mustard, not all like mustard.
Well, there's no air conditioning in your car.
Right, you can't have the air conditioning. That's right. And they were always wrapped in waxed paper. And my mom would pack this giant Coleman cooler for days, the packing of the cooler. The planning. I mean, no mayo, that's part of the plan, right? But you know what we did not have? Was water.
there was no, you didn't drink anything in the car.
I don't think we had water either.
No, you just, if you were thirsty, you just had to wait till you pulled over and got the cooler out.
But we got, and we then, had soda. We were allowed to have some
special,
cans of soda.
Right? That was very special. Yeah.
That we froze ahead of time. You know, in the freezer, and then sometimes it would explode.
And then you would wrap it in foil.
Awesome.
Foil, yeah.
I just remember doing field trips. Field trips.
Yeah, me too, but we also did it for road trips.
So you couldn't, I mean, there were no bottles of water. The idea of buying water.
Right.
You would buy water.
Could you even buy it? Was it even in a milk jug then? I don't even think so.
No, it couldn't. And so if you wanted water, you had to go to the drinking fountain at the rest stop and slurp.
Or you brought a thermos, an old school thermos, and
maybe
filled your
thermos
with your water.
But it was probably not water in your thermos. It was probably like Country Time lemonade. With,
I was just about to say, because
it's like half the sugar.
If we were thinking of having a beverage, I doubt it was ever water. It was always
it was lemonade. Yeah. And we had the big Coleman picnic jug with the little spigot on it, right?
Yeah. Of course. Was it plaid?
We didn't have a plaid.
Or was it just the red and
green.
White? Oh, dark green. And then like
green.
The tan.
Yes.
The dark green and tan. Mm-hmm. Well, so... So, like I said, many people did brown bag it, but something many of our followers and listeners have very vivid memories of are the places that they'd stop to eat along the way, especially that one with the iconic orange steepled roof.
Yeah.
You know what we're talking about.
R.I.P. to the Howard Johnsons. Ugh. Who's, you guys, their very last Howard Johnsons closed 3 weeks ago.
It did.
Weeks ago. The very last one. It was in Lake George, New York. Can you believe the timing of that?
Huh.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We almost never ate at a restaurant. Never. It was always the cooler at the rest stop. So when we saw the orange roof of the Howard Johnsons along the highway, we would start crying like, please, for the love of God, please.
And your dad's like, Abraham Lincoln.
Yes. 100 more miles. 100 more miles. That orange roof was on purpose, and their visibility from the highway was on purpose to make kids like me see it from the highway and go, please, please. I mean, no joke. That was part of their business plan, was to catch our eye and make us go, maybe I don't want a bologna sandwich with mustard. Maybe I want something else. But when my grandma was with us, we were more likely to stop, probably because she was smashed in the back seat with us kids with her feet on the hump. And she was like, oh, my God, I'll pay. Get me out of here. So when we had the great privilege of stopping, it was often at a Hojo's, and I always got the clam strips, which sounds like that was the case for a lot of people.
What was it about those clam strips? I don't know what you guys are talking about, because I didn't have them.
Oh, you don't?
Well, I was a picky eater, and we would stop at Howard Johnson's, but I was ordering probably cheeseburger and french fries, or grilled cheese and french fries. Anything that sounded fishier that it came from the ocean, I'm staying away from. So tell me what's so special about the clams.
It turns out that clam strips were popularized by Howard Johnson's because there are tons of people who served fried clams, but they served the whole clam with the gushy belly. And Howard Johnson knew that, you know, the average American is not going to take a big bite into a clam belly. So he would fry up just the foot, which, and by when they say foot, do they really mean foot? I mean, I really hope it's not an actual foot.
It is.
It is. Is it a foot?
It's the little part that comes out and helps them kind of move.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. So I guess that's the least offensive part. And you fry up pretty much anything. If you fry it enough, it's going to be good. Because it's really about the tartar sauce. It's all about getting the tartar sauce to your mouth. So that's what most people talked about. He also added, when I say he, there was literally a guy named Howard Johnson's. He added extra butter fat to the 28 flavors of ice cream at Howard Johnson's. And that was what everybody talked about. It was the clam strips and the ice cream, the clam strips and the ice cream. But I also remember the menus at Howard Johnson's. The menus were really special for children, the children's menu. It might be a map of the United States with fun facts on it. But I remember these menus that had elastic strings on them and you could poke out eyes and make it into a mask.
Oh my God, Kristen. Oh my God. That just,
did I just Husker do you?
You just Husker dude me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The other pit stop that people mentioned a lot was Stuckey's. And Stuckey's was a true truck stop. And I thought truck stop meant gift shop.
Oh,
I didn't see bakery. Any trucks around. And yeah, I just thought it was like, oh, gift shop on the highway. That's what a truck stop is, right? And Stuckey's is famous for its pecan log roll, which is appropriate because Stuckey's actually started as a roadside stand selling pecans or pecans.
Wherever you live in the United States, everyone.
Mm-hmm, your pronunciation. The other one that people mentioned a lot was Nickerson Farms, which I had never heard of before.
Same.
That makes sense. If we never stopped to eat and there was no orange roof, how would I know about it, right? And not coincidentally, Nickerson Farms was actually started by a former Stuckey's employee who was like, screw you, Stuckey's, I'll give you Nickerson Farms. And Gail D88 says this about Nickerson Farms. The payoff for leaving before the crack of dawn was getting to stop and have breakfast at some place along the highway. In the Midwest, there were these utopias called Nickerson Farms. They had the best breakfasts, and we could order, in all caps, chocolate milk with our French toast.
The best.
The best, right? They also had these little pegboard games that were on every table to help while away the time while you waited for your order to arrive. And the games all had a sticker on them that let you know you could purchase one of these sweet games in the gift shop. Be still my heart. Isn't that right?
So true. That memory of the triangle pegboards with the little golf tees on the restaurant tables. I always played them. I always wanted to buy one in the gift store. I'm almost positive I did at one point. You know, we always had like our allowance to go with us. And those were some big decisions you had to make. But the restaurants and the truck stops with the gift shops were the best. I was all about buying postcards, pressed pennies. A lot of our followers commented that they still collect pressed pennies because it's a great thing to still collect that doesn't take up a lot of space. I loved that. And you still see those pressed penny things. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. Put in a dollar, get out a penny. and of course, I collected anything with my name on it. I don't care what it was. If I saw that it said Michelle with two L's, it was mine. Yeah. And I loved getting Mexican jumping beans, which I don't guess are very PC today. Like, no. Right? Like, but I'm quite certain there are many, many tiny acrylic boxes of little beans with dead worms in them in a box in my mom's garage somewhere.
I never understood what it was, so I wasn't going to risk it because I was like, what do you mean? Like, they really
I would hold them so carefully in my hand and I'd be so mad if I got one that was jumping when I bought it. You know, it's probably like 50 cents, 75 cents. And then when I'd get in the car, I'd pick the one with the most active beans. And always when I'd get in the car, they'd just lay there silent. Nothing.
My beans are dead.
Ghost beans. Well, what about you guys? What did you love to get?
Well, if I ever saw my name on one of those license plate or anything, I'd have to grab it.
Oh, anything.
I never saw my name on those. There'd always be Caroline. Yeah. No offense to the Carolines out there, but please. Or Carol. But there was never Carolyn. I was so sad. So much so that I believe I'm telling the truth. When I named my children, it had to go through the filter of would they be able to find their names on a license plate in a souvenir store?
Because that impacts you. It's true when you walk away from that little turning, that little turnstile thing.
And looking. It.
Well, and
it'd always be Beth and then.
Right. Amy, Jessica, Lisa, Jennifer. Well, there was always a Michelle, but there was a lot of times with one L.
Really? That's wrong.
Double L is the right way to spell it.
I mean, did they have any idea when they're stocking those things, when they're creating all those license plates, they had no idea that they were actually causing trauma.
Really? It's true. I would be so sad. Yeah. I would run to those every time.
Yeah.
And really anything personalized. Sometimes there were toothbrushes. Yes. Pencils. Or any of those things. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And my brother was Eric with a K, and they always had Eric with a C.
Right.
And so might have Kristen and Eric, but both of us the wrong spelling. Yeah. You walk away bereft. What am I going to put on the back of my banana seat bike? Right. The big pencil for me was really big.
I love the big pencil.
Excuse the pun. yes, it was obviously really big. It was like a foot long and it was like the girth of a quarter. Mm-hmm. You couldn't write with it. You couldn't, but I tried.
Oh, of course.
And then back scratchers were
loved
big.
Them, yeah.
Oh, like, loved
I don't know when
scratcher.
Everybody's back got so itchy, but we all needed back scratchers. And sometimes I could con my dad into buying a little box of Luden's cough drops, cherry.
To eat like candy?
Like candy.
Yeah.
Like, Dad,
oh,
Dad, it's a cough drop.
You want me to be quiet in the back seat, don't you? Yes. I'm going to be coughing the next 6 hours. Speaking of big pencil, did you guys have the pen, like the big pencils? It was vinyl, and up at the top where the eraser would be, it's a little zipper that unzips, and you could put your pencils in it.
Yes,
it was I loved those. Yeah,
cute pencil bag.
Yeah.
But you know what else they had so much of? And it didn't even matter where you were. Stuckey's was a big one on this. So the souvenir novelty aisle, it had a lot of Native American things.
Oh, God.
Totally.
It didn't even matter if you were in Georgia or whatever. Yeah. And like, I remember
it'd be like
having
primary colors.
Yes. And I remember having this, the drum. Like, there was a drum with that really pulled tight thing. Why they let us get
like
a drum?
Cow skin.
I'm not sure.
In the back seat, you don't want a drum. You guys, it's like it's horrifying, and my horror is testament to how far we've come as a society. Because we begged. I remember my brother and I begged for these headdresses, and I pray to God that there were no Native people watching us cruise down the highway with our red, yellow, and blue Indian headdresses on. It's horrifying. It's the very definition of cultural appropriation, and it came from no tradition. It came from exactly no tribal nation.
100%. But it's also the very definition of our 70s childhoods, because not only did you get stuff like that at gift stores, no matter what state you were in, when you weren't on a road trip, you were running around in your front yard with them on.
Yes.
Yeah. Beating on the little drum, playing. It's just, it's so cringy now. Yeah. It's so cringy.
And there were there were rabbit feet that hung down in front of my ears from the headdress. It's just, and they were probably blue. They were like dyed purple.
Oh, the poor rabbits. Remember rabbit's feet?
Oh, my God. Rabbit's feet. Thank you. That was another thing I always bought. And you could feel the little claws.
Yes.
Yes. I know. I didn't know why people liked that.
I didn't either.
I thought I was missing my first claw.
I never wanted that.
And I didn't know why. Why do we want this? I couldn't figure that out.
Well, they were lucky, supposedly.
Not for the rabbit.
Oh. Right.
Do you remember the souvenir Naugahyde wiener dogs with the state names printed on the sides?
There were a lot of wiener dog things in the 70s.
There were. I remember the autograph ones.
Yes, oh, okay, same. Right on the wiener dog.
They had a little place for the pen.
No. Like, yes, I know what you're talking about. No, these are souvenirs with the states. You're going to collect them from, and they're Naugahyde. They're kind of like a shiny leather.
50 pleather. Wiener dogs.
Our Instagram follower, Suze Duggard, writes, remembers having a pale blue one with Kentucky on it. And I asked her to DM us a picture, and she did. And when I saw it, I was completely hooskerdood. So I'm going to post it in stories this week, because I bet when you see it, you too will go, I don't know that I
need
owned
a reminder.
One.
Yeah.
Well, and how about this one? Sarah Schneider-Smith remembers getting a Hagen Reneker porcelain animal glued to the paper backing every road trip. That. The little tiny porcelain animals, and their little feet had like little dots of almost like hot glue. And it was, and a little square of paper. This was my husband's souvenir of choice always, all the little ceramic animals. And then you would peel them off. You could peel them off the paper, but
and make a little display on your window.
Yeah. Little
squirrels. I didn't
know
they had a name. I had no idea.
Little ducks. Yeah. So I think it's either Hagen Reneker or Hagen Reneker, but I'll post both in stories this week because I think it'll come back to you when you see them. Yeah. But I would argue that the piece de resistance, did I do that right, Kristen? I have to check with my French tutor.
A pièce. Pièce de résistance.
Pièce de résistance.
You have to make your face.
And I have to do my hands.
You have to do your hands.
Of the road trip was at the end of that long day, pulling up to the motel, and if it had a pool, and if that pool was indoor, I don't know about you guys, but like my entire body would just explode. Like, to this day, I remember that the Holiday Inn Holodome in Boise, Idaho had the greatest indoor pool of my life. Now, do I remember why we went to Boise, Idaho, went through Boise, Idaho multiple times? No. Was that Holodome indoor pool most likely just a large oval in a room that smelled very strongly of chlorine? Yes. But my memory of that Holodome pool, it's like freaking Typhoon Lagoon at Disney World.
Totally.
It is huge in my mind. And if the motel pool had a slide or a diving board,
we're not
best trip ever.
That's vacation. I remember my mom breaking the news to us that she had just made a reservation at the Holodome in Elkhart, Indiana. She had ordered the hotel motel guide from AAA, and you'd page through the book. You'd get your big map, and then you'd look at where you could stop, and then you'd page through the book. And they had a list of every hotel and motel along the interstate highway system with a star rating.
With the stars.
With the stars. Hotel, motel, what you gonna do today? Cause I'm gonna get a fly girl, gonna get some spank and drive off in a death OJ. Everybody go hotel, motel. And so this Holodome in Elkhart, Indiana was like 4 stars, and we were like a 1-star family, right? So this was like, this was the vacation. It was the halfway point on our drive, but it was like, enjoy it, kids, because it costs $17.95, so you better enjoy it. And you could, it had an arcade.
So I was going to ask you that. What else did the Holodome have in it?
All I remember is arcade and the pool.
Well, one of the things I remember about the pools was making friends, like from other states.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like sometimes, you know, they'd have the cool ball or toy and, you know, you'd be like, what's your name? Oh, you know, Billy or Mary. Oh, okay. And then you'd throw the balls and or whatever you're going to play with, and I would make little friends.
Or you'd get up a rousing game of Marco Polo with some of the other vacationing kids.
Well, as you got older, you know, there was like the elementary school road trips when you were, you know, kindergarten through fifth. Then there were the middle school road trips where you're a little more like, oh, I'll play chicken. Let's play chicken.
Mm-hmm. Well, many of our listeners commented on the joy of the motel pool and the Holodome, and especially loved swimming at night. Oh, do you guys remember? It was magic.
Because you were arriving after a long day's drive, right? So it was most likely nighttime, especially if you went 100 more miles.
It's just with that light. It just gave that water this cool glow. Yes. I loved it, too, so much until we were on a road trip or a moving road trip one time. And we went out to swim with our towels and everything. And the whole pool was shut down. And there was an ambulance. And there was stretchers going away and everything. And they said, pool's closed. And we said, why? Like, when we checked in, the pool wasn't closed. What just happened? The light, like, short-circuited and it electrocuted a man that was in the pool. A couple of things. One, in mine and my sister's story, like that night, he's dead. Like he's just, we don't know if he died or not. Yeah. But in my mind, my whole life, he died. He fried in the pool. And two, I've never swam at night again without being a little bit scared thinking, am I about to get electrocuted?
You're looking, where are the outlets?
I imagine myself as like the eel in Little Mermaid, you know, when the eels go and like, it's like an animated eel that like lights up. I imagine the man was just like doing some laps and then all of a sudden his whole body just, but we do have some other great hotel motel memories from our society members. And I'm sure that Kristen and Carolyn, you guys have some as well. But what about the ice machines?
Oh, we always fought over who got to get the ice. It was like the kid who got to run the movie projector in your classroom. And we would like knock down, drag out fights. Who gets to go get ice?
And I loved the plastic cups that had the saran wrap cover. And you knew you were staying at like a fancy hotel if they were glass, if the glasses were glass with the little paper cover on top. Like that was just different. That was next level.
Well, I remember we'd always go and my mom would get the phone book out. This was every hotel, motel.
In your hotel?
Yes. In the drawer, there's usually next to the Bible, the phone book. Right. And we would have to look up our last name to see if there were any other, because our last name was spelled R-E-I-C-H, see if there were any other Riches. And then her maiden name was Rizbarski.
Whoa.
And so we'd look that up. Every once in a blue moon, we'd find a Rizbarski. And she'd contemplate calling them.
Oh, my gosh. Are you related to me?
That's right. She was convinced they had to be related somehow. So I just always remember. And even then when my kids were little and we'd go, now there are no more phone books in there.
No.
But I think early on when we would road trip with the kids, it'd be like, let's go see if there are any other Cochran's with an E in the phone book.
You're Husker doing me a little bit. No, we've used Husker Du like 10 times in this episode because now I'm remembering my dad getting the phone book out and he would just look for funny names. He wasn't looking for our names. And if he found a rhyming name, it was like bonanza. I remember he found Gordon Borden one time, and he was so excited for Gordon Borden.
Isn't it a weird concept to think back that there was a giant book where all of our names, addresses, and phone numbers were listed?
For the whole world.
That just seems like such an invasion of privacy. As I'm sitting here on a computer where you can find out just about anything about anybody or anything you want. Well, what about, speaking of the bathrooms, what about the toilet seats that had that sanitized for your protection paper strip over them? What a memory. That's from Society member Marvel Ann. Ann says they'd rush in to break them with a pretend karate chop. Chop! I imagine that's like fighting over the ice bucket. It's like, who's going to get in there first? And then I wonder how many times Anne or her siblings' hand just went right down into that water.
Yep. Well, hope it was sanitized for your protection.
My favorite, I feel like, memory that was shared on Instagram that I had totally forgotten about also comes from Marvel Anne. So Anne, thank you for this one. She reminded us of the vibrating beds. Right?
Yes.
Guys,
it was like a carnival ride.
She just blew my mind. Anne said, magical creation. And yes. Anne said this, we would always hope to stay in a roadside motel with the vibrating massage beds. We begged for quarters. Then we three kids would lie crosswise over the bed and giggle and try to talk like robots as we shook. We did that too. Did you guys do that?
Yes.
Hello, my name is Michelle. She says, these motels didn't look disreputable, so I assume the beds were intended for weary travelers or traveling salesmen and kids. I'm thinking, nice thought, Anne, but I'm guessing you are incorrect.
Isn't that funny? But we had no idea. And I remember we would beg my dad. We weren't going to ask my mom. We'd beg my dad, and he would do the quarters, and my mom would always be pissed. And she'd be like, Gordy, what are you doing? Like, how would my mom think that we would have any idea that was for sex?
I think I remember, in my memory, I should say, I was told when I asked, what is this for? It was to make for your muscle, like a massage, like a truly massage. Sure. You're so tired. It's going to help your back feel better after a long
day. Aching which muscles.
That could have been a good marketing ad too.
We were allowed to jump on the bed. Like we never could we jump on the beds at home. But
from one bed to the other?
Yes. It was lava. There was lava down
in
lava that
little. In between.
Yes, in between. Yeah.
Yes.
And we had to jump. And I could do like the jump on my butt like it was a trampoline.
Totally.
And you didn't get in trouble?
No, we were allowed to.
I
guess they figured we had been sitting in a car for so long and they wanted us to be tired when it was time to go to bed. So jump away. I'm sure the people below us, if we were in a two-story motel, would have been thrilled. But
well, one of the last memories we're going to share is one that I love. A lot of you listening, a lot of our social media followers mentioned collecting the brochures and the guidebooks.
That's
did you guys
brilliant.
Do that? Like, yes. I would grab a ton of brochures from the big, you know, easel thing of the rack of brochures, and then I would play travel agent in the back seat. I would be like, oh, you would like to go to see this, you know, these dinosaur statues? Well, hang on just a second and I'll see if that time's available, you know, or or the, you know, the water slide.
Just a moment.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So I love that.
Well, I have distinct memories of our triptych. So the AAA triptych, which was in that. So in addition to the books you were talking about, Kristen, where, you know, they'd also list like the historical places you could stop and that kind of thing. But in the triptych, it was your specific route that you were taking. And I remember going to AAA. This was an experience. And you'd sit down with one of the reps and they'd have the highlighter. And they'd go through and they'd be like, okay. And they would tell you what you're going to be doing. And then they highlighted it as they spoke to you with a real highlighter so that when you had it, you
you followed their trail.
Yes, their trail.
Yeah.
In that great book I was referring to earlier about the history of the family road trip, I read that it was in 1911 at a AAA in New York, an adventurous motorist said, I want to go from New York to Florida. And of course, there was no one map that had a New York to Florida route on it. So the worker, the employee at AAA, cut a map, cut maps apart, and put it together for
the triptych.
adventuring motorist. And that is how the triptych was.
The triptych was born.
Yes, 1911.
Wow.
Oh, that's really interesting.
1911. Yeah. Can you imagine how long that would take? To get from New York to Florida? Literally, isn't that like the car you have to wind up at the front?
You max out at 24 miles per hour.
Yes.
Wow.
Anyway, isn't that fun?
Yeah, so fun. We have loved traveling down this highway of memories with all of you. And it's been really nice to do it without our dads all yelling at us to pipe down back there or hold it until the next rest stop at 83 miles.
I can't hold it.
I actually can't right now, so we're going to wrap this up, girls. But we want to end with a couple of really great memories from some Instagram comments that just gave us all the feels. We're going to start it with Sonic Glow Candles, who says, I have the best memories of road trips when I was young. 2-week summer vacations to the East Coast or Canada, camping with my parents and sisters. Remember those heavy canvas tents? Ugh, when it rained, we all got soaked. Fortunately, my parents purchased a pop-up camper in the mid-70s, and that made camping far more enjoyable. I remember each of us getting a couple packs of new comic books as well as Mad or Cracked magazines. Plus, I was always into horror movies, so I'd grab a copy of Fangoria or similar. We'd bring our Dawn or Barbie dolls, and I remember looking forward to stopping for a banana split or ice cream sundae because of those blue plastic boats that the sundaes were served in. After finishing our ice cream, we'd rinse and save the boats. Then, once at our campsite, we'd find the nearest creek, place our Dawn dolls in the boats, and watch them float downstream. Oh, totally free so range. Sweet. We'd run off into the woods as soon as my parents set up camp, picking wild blueberries and exploring the areas around the campgrounds. I loved all of it. I just think that's just
that
such
so retro.
It's so pure. That is pure fun. That's just pure joy, pure fun. I wanted to be her with that blue plastic boat, putting my Barbie in it and just sailing it down. That to me just personifies the road trip vacation.
It's freedom. It's total freedom.
It was so great. Mm-hmm. And another one of our followers, Jilly Smollett, she shared this story with us. My mom remarried when I was 10, and I got to go on the honeymoon. We traveled in a Chevy van with all the passenger seats removed to make room for our camping gear. My mom made curtains for all the windows out of fabric that looked like canyons. I sat in a plaid armchair with my dog.
I know, but this is the coolest vision, you guys.
Yes. This is so great.
We drove straight across Texas and Arizona to the Grand Canyon and around to Colorado. This was 1977, and shorts for men were truly short.
Oh.
I have some classic pictures with my new dad in short shorts and white knee socks with hiking boots. I had my little cadet camera around my neck and my dog in my arms in every picture. Thank y'all for bringing back the memories.
Well, I can picture they cleared out the inside of that van and they put an armchair in there. An armchair.
A plaid one. It's so great.
And we talk about freedom. You know, you can't That's do that absolutely stuff anymore.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just too many rules. I mean, they're for our safety and everything, but still.
But screw safety.
Yeah, that's right.
You guys, I'm afraid ye old road trip as we know it from our childhoods is a thing of the past.
I agree.
Right? With you've got Airbnbs and McDonald's and personal entertainment devices for each and every person and bottles of water, for God's sake. I don't think there's any going back. But maybe we should try. What if we could plan a road trip like our parents did? With no reservations, a map, a cooler in the back, and a fistful of dollars for souvenirs. It might be kind of fun. But I'll let you use the air conditioning.
Okay, let's do it. Right? We're doing it.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Have a happy summer.
And if you're a new listener and enjoy our conversations, remember that we have a back catalog of over 70 episodes on so many of our shared Gen X memories, like After School Specials, Schoolhouse Rock, KTEL Records, The Brady Bunch, and TV shows and movies and music we loved, and so much more. We sure hope that you'll listen.
Yeah, and now now, right now, is the most important part of this episode. Honestly, don't turn us off yet, because this is where we get to thank you for listening and for sharing our podcast with everyone you know. And if you really want to help, clicking those stars where you listen or writing a nice review would mean so much to us. Right, girls?
That is so true.
It does. And if you really want to take your support to the next level and help keep this podcast trucking, consider becoming a Patreon supporter. Our patrons get such fun and exclusive bonus content each month. You can check it all out by clicking the link in our show notes, clicking the link in our Instagram bio, or just go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com and type our name in the search box. And today we are giving a special thank you shout out to patrons Margaret, Stacy, Tracy, Christina, Stella, and Jennifer. Your support is what is keeping us talking. And that's actually a really good thing, despite what our fourth grade teachers thought.
That's right.
And our husbands.
And our children.
Right. They're so grateful to you that you're providing this outlet for us.
In the meantime, let's raise our glasses for a toast, courtesy of Jack and Janet and Chrissy hanging out on the Venice boardwalk. To good times.
To happy days.
To Little House on the Prairie.
Cheers.
Cheers.
The information, opinions, and comments expressed on the Pop Culture Preservation Society podcast belong solely to Carolyn, the Crushologist, and Hello Newman, and are in no way representative of our employers or affiliates. And though we truly believe we are always right, there is always a first time. The PCPS is written, produced, and recorded in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the fictional WJM Studios and our beloved Mary Richards. Nanu Nanu, keep on trucking, and may the force be with you.
We had a dream, we go traveling together, spread a little love, and it will keep moving on. Something always happens whenever we're together. We get a happy